This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. It's always a joy to talk to John Heyman. Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, you know, everybody's cold and everybody's upset about all the postponements and what can be done about it? Is there procedure that should change? Is there, people are blaming people.
Well, they started earlier this year. They probably shouldn't do that. That's one. But obviously this bad weather has gotten to the middle of April now. So I think they should start with the games in the South, the West Coast, and in the dome stadiums. And if there are teams that start with 10 games on the road, so be it. There seems to be a concern about opening day being ruined. I guess our team starting poorly on the road and then not being exciting for opening day or something. I'm not sure. It might have something to do with the money. It usually does. But, I mean, this is just brutal. You can't have this. These games are really unplayable, as Joe Maddon said. That wasn't the only game like that. There have been games in Cleveland, Detroit, Minnesota. I mean, there were games in the 20s. It's really not baseball at that point. So I give the players credit for not complaining, but it has been unfair and unreal at this point.
Well, Joe also, John, called for, suggesting maybe a universal, if it's 32 degrees, you don't start any games. You know, that there seems to be too much subjectivity involved here. Like, okay, Shohei was going to start yesterday, so MLB was desperate to have him on his regular schedule, and plus, all the attention he gets no matter if he's in Kansas City or is he pitching in Anaheim. But ultimately, first they said, no, you're going to play, and ultimately they called it a half hour or so before the first pitch. Can you come up with some universal guideline as to when you should play? I mean, look, if you played Saturday, then arguably any conditions beyond that, tonight you shouldn't even be a decision. You should just play because it's not going to be anything close to what it was Saturday.
Yeah, that was brutal Saturday. I'm not sure. I'm not a weatherman. You might have to ask Mike Trout. He's a weather expert. But, some 45 degrees is absolutely brutal, and some 45 degrees might be playable, or 40 degrees. It depends on the wind chill and all sorts of other things. I think we've had a couple of bad decisions, but the problem, I think, is the scheduling. They've got to not have so many games in Minnesota and Detroit and Chicago and Boston the first week, or just move the schedule back a little bit instead of moving it forward.
John, you kind of had your final say on the Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta negotiations, and I read it with great interest. Obviously the Cubs got their man, and they wanted Yu Darvish, but they were also trying to make sure that if that didn't work out, that they kept in touch with Jake and basically were having him wanted him kind of on hold if that deal fell through.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely needed another starter. There weren't a lot of great starters out there. They had tried Alex Cobb a couple times, and for whatever reason, he did not agree. I think he was offered four for 48, even after they had signed Chatwood. So, but I think once it became clear that neither Arrieta or Darvish would get the 7 for 175, they started to think more realistically, maybe we're going to get one of these guys, and I think they preferred Darvish due to the analytics and velocity and different things that teams look at these days rather than, well, Arrieta's been great for us. He's helped us win the World Series. And, over the last 3 years, he's probably performed better, and he certainly performed better in big moments. That's the way you looked at it in the past. But now I think Darvish was generally preferred on the open market by most teams, including the Cubs, due to the velocity and the stuff and the projection going forward. So they would have been happy to take Jake at 6 for $120, a little bit less than 6 for $126. But Jake, for whatever reason, did not like that deal with the Cubs. And I think Theo, probably from what I'm gathering, probably thought that there was little chance that he would accept that. Didn't hurt to ask in case the Darvish thing fell through, but it ended up not falling through, and Darvish took a little bit less per year than people thought at $21 million a year. Still can't feel sorry for him. $126 million is a lot of money, but I think they were surprised they were able to get Darvish.
John, when Anthony Rizzo due back tonight, assuming they play the game, and he was off to a 3 for $28, so it wasn't like he was ripping the cover off the ball by any means, but you know, he is the leader in that clubhouse and maybe sets a tone for the team. And Cubs are .500. Justin Turner out of the lineup for the Dodgers. They're 5-9, and they have other issues, certainly. But how much do you attribute to a personality that once he's not available for a certain amount of time, the team starts to, you know, feel the effects of that?
Yeah, I'm not sure that you can attribute to that. I think they have a very good clubhouse. Obviously, they won the World Series. I mean, Rizzo obviously was healthy for that. I think that the back was a concern. Obviously, they put him on. He missed a few games, and that's more the concern than the lack of the leadership there. Because I think their team has got a lot of guys that are really together and focused, and I don't think that's their issue at all. Obviously, they haven't played spectacularly so far, but a lot of teams haven't. Washington's been worse. LA's been worse yet. So I think we had three teams that were prohibitive favorites, and none of them have played great, but it's only been a couple weeks, and as we talked about earlier, it's been very, very cold, and that can affect teams. Obviously, Cubs liked it probably better than Atlanta, not a surprise, but it's still not great for anybody.
What's the biggest story in baseball? Could it be the Mets? Are they that good? Is this a real story? What do you take away?
Yeah. I think it's Ohtani to this point. I mean, the guy's probably been the best pitcher and one of the better hitters. It's amazing what he's done. Coming over here and pitchers he hasn't seen, hitters he hasn't seen, and had that terrible spring training, and it's been absolutely fantastic. From a team standpoint, all those 1986 teams are doing great. Angels, Astros, but particularly the Red Sox and the Mets have been really off to record starts from an organizational standpoint. And the Red Sox have looked untouchable, and the Mets have been very, very good as well. So team standpoint, I think Mets and Red Sox, we'll see if we have a reprise of the 1986 World Series. I don't know. It's early. But it's interesting to see all four of those teams from those great playoffs are still doing well. I mean, Houston, I think we expect them to do well. And the Angels, you've got Trout, you've got Ohtani. We'll see if Ohtani keeps us up, but they may have the two best players in the game.
And wow. I guess the question is, you know, does Pittsburgh have staying power, or is this just a false positive? And maybe to a degree, I know that obviously you have guys like Greinke and such with Arizona, but to get off to the start while Dodgers are struggling, will they continue to control that division?
Yeah, I wrote about the seven surprise teams and whether they had staying power on FanRag. And, I think it's easy to conclude or think that the Pirates don't have staying power. They're probably a lot better than we thought. The Braves are probably a little better than we thought. They obviously have very good prospects, and they'll probably be excellent in a couple of years. But I think ultimately neither of those teams will be playoff teams. Toronto has been a little bit of a surprise. I think they've got a shot at the playoffs. They're better than we thought, but it's not going to be easy in the AL. You've got Minnesota, you've got the Angels, and you've got two other great teams in the East. So not going to be easy, but I still think that the seven super teams are all going to be in. It just seems like there isn't a lot of parity this year, unfortunately. We will see. Obviously, the Nats, the Dodgers, and the Cubs aren't off to great starts, nor are the Yankees, but I think all four of them ultimately will be playoff teams.
John, the Cardinals are in town. Hopefully they get the game in tonight, but I got to tell you, when Yadi Molina kind of went off on Wilson Contreras for what I thought was kind of didn't seem like it was an awful tweet, but he reacted angrily. And then you see him go after Torey Lovullo. You thought, wow, what's wrong with Yadi? But it turns out the Lavulo thing is pretty amusing. He just casually referred to him
as an
yes, as he was talking about the pitch framing, and that's why the guy got his dander up. I mean,
yeah, I actually think Lavello's in the wrong there.
I
don't think you can refer to somebody as that when you're arguing.
No one wants to be known casually.
They built a lot of their team on that pitch framing thing. That's all they care about from the catcher. They have Mathis, who's arguably the worst hitter of this century, as a player who plays a lot, and it's just because he's a good pitch framer, and he's frustrated that Yadi was doing a good job pitch framing, and you can't call somebody that. I don't care who they are, where they're from, or anything like that. That, to me, was brutal, and Lavello earned his suspension and his ejection and everything. Yadi does have a little bit of a temper, though, I will say that, Lavello's got some guts to call him that. That would be the last person I would call that.
Yadi didn't deserve the suspension, but Perdomo, I give him 10 for throwing the glove.
I agree. You can't do that. You can't throw at somebody, then throw a glove. To me, that's 10. Same with the guy, Boston, not the glove, but Joe Kelly threw twice at Tyler Austin. Tyler Austin probably did deserve his suspension. That slide wasn't good. Then he acted like a nut after they threw at him. But you throw a ball at somebody, then you throw the glove. To me, that's 2. Or you throw 2 balls at somebody. To me, that's 2. So to me, that's 10 games or more. I think just throwing a ball at somebody, I mean, somebody could get hurt. Now, even if you're not, obviously, if you're throwing at someone's head, to me, I think that's brutal and deserves a very, very long suspension. But players have lost 2 months getting broken wrist or broken elbow or whatever. It's not good. So I'm not in favor of that. But that was lame, throwing the glove at Arenado. Very bad. Very poor form.
All right, John. Thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it.
All right. Great talking to you.
Thanks, John.
That's John Heyman, MLB Network, FanRag Sports.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.